Today on Analog Out, we've got a Mario Maker 2 online update. We've got a PS Plus price increase. GameStop lists 21 new Switch games. Microsoft's showing a whole slew of first-party games at E3 and more. Check it out. Hey everybody, welcome back for another episode of Analog Out. We've got an exciting show for you. My name's Pat, I'm here with my co-host Bowman.
Hello everybody.
And we got a bit of news here. I guess we'll get right into it. The biggest thing that's going on this week is everybody's flipping out over Mario Maker 2's...
That's what everyone's flipping out about?
On the Twitterverse, they are.
Okay.
All the like mainstream YouTubers and gamers... are like, people are making videos about it on YouTube. People are tweeting it at Nintendo,
like
harassing them.
Review Tech Bro videos where it's got like the Call of Duty footage and him.
Yeah,
complaining
and,
about it.
Well, the Game Chasers made a video about it. Bunch of RGT 85 is posting nonstop on Twitter about it.
So what's the fuss all about, Pat?
Well, basically, it came out. Allegedly that the Mario Maker 2 online will not allow you to play online with your friends. It's going to be random people only.
I love playing with bots.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people's first take was. It's like, why wouldn't I... You're basically just playing with bots at that point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's another example of Nintendo... goofing when it comes to online.
Yeah, they're very good at taking two steps forward and then take a step forward and then two steps back. Mm-hmm. They're really good at that. I don't fully believe this information just yet, since if you guys look at the articles out there that have been posted about it, this is all based around a conversation they had with a Nintendo representative, and I take those with a grain of salt at times. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times those Nintendo reps don't know anything, and they don't know specifics about these games sometimes, so I'm not that it's impossible for me to believe that Nintendo would set it up like this. I very well think it could be the case, but I'm not 100% certain that that's gonna be the case.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I mean,
it seems a really silly feature to program and then remove friends from, which is uncharacteristic of Nintendo, but seems really off the wall stupid.
I mean, it's been a week since it was announced, and Nintendo hasn't made like a correction on it. So
I've never seen Nintendo like go out and correct things, and they don't. I don't know.
I feel like they did something like a year ago that was similar to this, and they did come out and be like, "No, that's not right."
Well, we'll see. Maybe they're looking into it. So, I mean, I think okay, here's a couple scenarios. It does launch this way. It does launch with no friend multiplayer. I think with the outcry. And this game gets heavily patched in the future, Mario Maker, which is unfortunate that I have to say it this way, but this is the state of gaming in 2019 that, well, I guess they'll fix it later.
That's exactly what my thought was, is that there'll be a patch. I'm reading here that it was confirmed to Nintendo Life by a Treehouse rep.
That's what I'm saying, though. I don't...
But the Nintendo Treehouse people, they are the ones that make the games. They know all the details about it.
Not necessarily.
I don't know. I feel like it would be a weird thing to say and then not know what you're talking about, because it's a big damning thing. I was told, this is one of the arguments that I've heard, and I think it's stupid, and this always happens anytime something like, you know, a fan favorite company like Nintendo, where you have people that are fans no matter what. Some of the arguments that I've seen on Twitter and stuff are like, well, it's more fun to play locally with your friends anyway. And I'm like, that's great and all.
That is true.
Yeah,
it's definitely
exactly.
True to have friends in person with you.
Yes, that's great and all. But even still, my point was, okay, most of my friends live like almost an hour away.
I'm going to live thousands of miles from
you.
Yeah.
And then in the off chance that I actually do get a bunch of friends together, it's not necessarily normal or common for a group of 30-something-year-old guys, when they finally have a chance to all get together, to be like, all right, let's play this kid's game now. Like, it's not always the first thing that's on the table. you know, maybe I get bored. We get bored and we're like, all right, let's just pop this game in. But we're not all getting together to be like, yeah, let's play Mario Maker.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, yeah, it's not practical. The times where I want to play a game are usually when I'm home alone with nothing to do. And then maybe I can be able to text my friends and be like, hey, what are you doing? Let's hop on here.
Oh, yeah.
So yep. It's just, sure, yeah, it's great. And I'm glad that they gave us the option to play co-op together, but yeah, it's not ideal. Just because they have one option doesn't mean you can get rid of another.
It's really bizarre.
It's frustrating for sure.
Yeah.
And I understand for a lot of people, from what I'm seeing and hearing, a lot of people it's a game breaker for them.
I think that's silly to call it a game breaker. I mean, like,
they've really heavily pitched the online aspect of it, though. Like, it's required to, you're required to have, like, a online account to play this game.
Yeah, of course.
So, I don't know. It just seems like a huge oversight.
It's not a game breaker for me if it does happen, but it's really stupid. And it's just disappointing because...
Boneheaded.
As of right now, there is no, like, real... This is exciting because there's really no online co-op Mario platforming just yet. It's never happened yet. The only time we ever have any kind of online Mario experience right now is that we can, on the Nintendo emulator on the Switch, you can play back and forth through that, and it's not great. So I was excited about this feature. So I don't know. I'll remain optimistic about it. I'm not going to shit all over Nintendo about this just yet. So that's all I have to say about it.
Moving on. What do we got here? Okay, so this was exciting for you, I guess. There's been new footage of Earthbound 64.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's just that new footage. So those of you who aren't familiar with, a lot of people by now are probably at least familiar with Earthbound, which is a second game out of a 3-game series that was a big hit in Japan and not so much in the U.S. for a while. Became a cult classic later on. Everyone knows Ness from Smash Brothers. That's pretty much where people know Ness from Smash Brothers.
That's kind of where it got popular.
Exactly. So it became a cult classic through that. And back then, even though Earthbound didn't have that much success in the U.S., they were planning the sequel for the U.S. as well, which would be on the N64. Mm-hmm. So both Japan and U.S. were going to get a sequel originally on the Nintendo 64 disk drive. And then beyond that, when that got canceled, they still kept the project going and kept it on the Nintendo 64. That project ultimately got canned. Unfortunately, got canceled because the team working on it was the same team who made the original games, and they weren't able to adapt to the 3D that well. So eventually the game got completely trashed, and we never really saw much more of it beyond like screenshots and occasional video clips. And just the other day, it's always just nice to see more footage of this project pop up because it's just such an oddity at this point.
That team seems to have a lot of problems with programming in general because there's been multiple reports over the years of just like Iwata had to come in even though he didn't even work for the company anymore, and he like came in and had to like help them reprogram Earthbound because it was a mess.
Yep, for sure.
And I think he tried to do the same thing with Earthbound 64.
They tried to fix it. Like apparently, if I'm not mistaken, there is actually a pretty Nintendo Life's got a pretty good article about it. I believe check it out, but yeah, the footage is of a Space World 1996, which is just a gaming convention in Japan. And the new footage, it just shows like some more stuff, like the main character running through a bar setting in a forest. And this is just cool news for me because I want to see this prototype eventually surface someday. And who knows? We may never, ever see it. And
I wonder how finished it was.
That's the thing. I think it was like, I want to say like... This is just me talking out of my ass, but I want to say at one point I heard there was like at least like 60% done.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of assets at least, and a lot of things. Even if there's no actual real gameplay in the prototype, I would love to see like 3D models of the areas and everything, because if you play those of you don't know, folks, the Mother 3, the game eventually did get released on the Game Boy Advance. And if you look at the footage of the 3D versus the... finished project on the Game Boy Advance, there's a lot of scenes where you can tell. We're like, oh, this is an early version of this scene from this part. I can actually recognize some characters and stuff. But, yeah, so...
I've always been interested in it, but only to the point where I wish it was finished so I could play it.
Yeah. Well, for me at this point, anything I get to see of it's pretty neat. And yeah, this game had a lot of cool features going for it. I mean, on the disc drive version, they were pushing to have, I think other games did this or wanted to do this, where you'd be able to use like the Mario Paint application and put your face into the game.
Yeah.
Other games did do that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They were going to do that for...
It was almost like a precursor to the Miis.
Yeah, they were trying to make this, like, that Mario Paint thing, like, almost compatible with, like, a lot of disc drive games, and that was one of the features I remember seeing pushed. So, very interesting stuff. If you guys check it out, there is footage of the... just look it up on YouTube, or you can find it. Space World 1996 footage, and you will find... It's very brief, but if you're a fan of the series, you'll be happy to see at least just some more stuff.
Cool. All right. Well, so you know more about this than I do. Apparently, there was a PS Plus price increase. I did not hear about this.
Well, yeah, it's coming out recently. Nothing has affected the United States yet, or North America, that is. But PS Plus are seeing price increases in Japan, Europe, Switzerland, and Sweden.
So it's just a matter of time.
I think it's a matter of time. And it's
weird because they
just recently removed...
Right, features. Now you're only getting two games, and they haven't been particularly good games.
Yeah. To be fair, though, the June one was pretty decent.
What came out in June?
Sonic Mania and Sonic Mania and Borderlands Handsome Collection.
Yeah, so, Sonic Mania is nice.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I mean, it definitely sways me to not renew, because I was already debating on not renewing.
Yeah.
Because I don't really play any online PlayStation games.
I don't either. I've been meaning to cancel it, but then I forget. And then
we were going to play Dragon's Crown together, which could still happen, but that's one game.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's
I'll probably renew it again if, you know, when they add PS5 games or something.
Yeah. For sure.
Or that's, when they announce the Vita 2 at E3 next year.
It's very strange, but yeah, just give an idea. Like, Europe, it's... Well, the thing is, like, it's slight price increases in certain increments right now. Like, the Europe's 12-month and 3-month plan did not change. 1 month, it went up one pound. Or rather, 1 euro? Is that a pound? That's a pound, isn't it? Is that a pound?
What am I looking at?
At Europe.
Oh, that's a euro.
That's a euro? Okay. Yeah. So it went up 1 euro. Switzerland, it went up a bunch in Switzerland. Sweden, it went up all the way, like, not well, you know, it quite a significant jump. So
yeah, it's just a strange decision to make, because like I said, they took a lot of stuff away.
Yeah,
you took away PS3 and Vita games, so you basically, there used to be like 6 games a month, and now there's 2.
The only reason I really like my PS Plus at this point is, like, I do have a decent amount of collection of games that I've claimed in the past, but, like, I looked through a lot of them. A lot of them I'm just not interested in. And the other feature I have is the cloud saving. That's pretty much one of the big reasons. My Vita games and my PS4 games, they all have cloud saves.
PS Plus is a good deal if you just bought the system and you don't have that many games for it.
Absolutely, yeah.
But now I've got, like, of my own games, over, like, 60 games.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't have time to play these PS Plus games that I didn't go out of my way to get. Like, they're not games that I went out of my way to acquire. So I have other games that have a way higher priority than those ones do. I'm never going to get to them, basically. So, but when I first got my PS4, it was great because, you know, I was getting games here or there that, and I only had a couple games, so...
The issue that I take with PS Plus is that, and this is the case on Xbox 2, for the most part, is that once you claim these games, and you cannot play them if you no longer have a membership anymore.
Right.
And I know that on Xbox, that's the case for Xbox One games, but for Xbox 360, those are your games.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, those are yours. Because I think the way the system's set up, it, like, there was no way to, like, have a 360, because they go through 360 shop to basically give you those games.
Right.
So it doesn't quite work the same way. So... I don't know. It's hard because digital sales are becoming such a normal thing now. Like, Steam's digital culture has really leaked into the console culture now. It really is, like, a huge
sales
thing.
Sales all the time.
Exactly. Like,
PlayStation Flash sales are really good.
They're really good sales. They have, like, 70, 80% off for games. Yeah. And it's just like, why do I even need this PS
Plus? I've picked up
some
PS1 classics for, like, 90 cents on there a few times.
Yeah. They'll give you a bigger discount with the PS Plus, but still, it's like, minuscule compared to the.
Well, you get when a game is like already a dollar, you get an extra 10 cents off or whatever for PS Plus.
So
sometimes they do the PS Plus exclusive sales, but yeah, so it's not great. It already was diminishing in value. So all right, moving on. We've got an announcement from Microsoft. They're going to have 14 first-party games at E3. Now, we're not going to bother speculating what these games are, because who really knows? But I think the big thing here is it shows it's almost like a continuation on last year, where they made it very clear they didn't have a ton of stuff to announce.
But they acquired so many.
Right, and they made it very clear that they were going full stop on first-party titles, exclusive titles.
And they went on to add, this is always the case, but all those games will be available day one on Xbox Game Pass.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
Yeah, so this is an interesting move from them because, man, 14 first-party games at E3 is nuts. I don't know what the launch windows are for those games, if they're just going to be like... Well, actually, it kind of makes sense because everyone expects them to announce their new console. So they got to have a bunch of games to be like, this is why you should buy it. So
you think these necessarily won't be Xbox One games?
No, I don't think. I think probably at least 75% of them will be the new Xbox.
Hmm.
Yeah. So also, you know, they might some of that might be overlap nowadays. It's so hard to define what's generation by generation. So I won't be surprised at all if a large amount of the Xbox 2 launch titles are playable on like Xbox One X, you know,
just
dumbed
lower
down
settings and stuff. Yeah.
So yeah, I it's nice to see them moving in that direction. I really am looking forward to the new Xbox because I'm expecting it to be fully backwards compatible with Xbox One, and I never got an Xbox One.
I just think Xbox has a clear opportunity to have like a really nice system this next generation because PlayStation has been making so many cocky mistakes. So I think it's a big opportunity for them.
For your typical person, yes, they have a good opportunity. For us, they don't really make the kind of games that we're into, and like Sony and Nintendo or Japanese companies are always going to have that edge. But overall, they do have a good opportunity to seize the like Call of Duty markets and the Madden and you know all these games that sell. The Red Dead Redemptions and stuff, all these games that sell tens of millions of copies that people have to decide, oh, do I want to play it on PlayStation or do I want to play it on Xbox? And usually that decision almost always comes down to which consoles do my friends have?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're definitely going to have a good opportunity here, especially because Sony's kind of just like checked out for the next year. They have a couple games announced, but the PS4 is winding down. They're already announcing news about the PS5, but they're not announcing the PS5. They're not showing it off. It's not going to be here till next year. And they're kind of leaving the door open for Microsoft to do what Sony did in 2000 and release a console a year before everybody else and get a head start and push the envelope in a new further direction. So yeah, I agree with you there that Microsoft has a good opportunity here. And then also, while we're on the note of Microsoft, they announced that Xbox Game Pass is officially coming to PC.
That I'm curious about.
So I was a little confused about this announcement because as far as I knew, Xbox Game Pass was already available on PC. Like if you go on to the Xbox Game Store, or the Microsoft Store, rather, you can use your Game Pass to get games that are on Xbox Game Pass. Essentially,
not. I did confirm that later on. Like, there's a lot of games for the Xbox
that you can't get.
You can't get on the
PC.
But
things like Super Lucky's Town, Forza, and things of that nature, I've had on PC with the Xbox Game Pass. Subscribers are able to access a rotating library of downloadable games, and let's see, it shares the name with Xbox, but the announcement makes clear that the PC library will be curated separately. So The service will give subscribers access to a curated library of more than 100 PC games. Bethesda, Devolver Digital, Paradox Interactive, Sega, etc. So, yeah, I guess I think it's just a matter of it wasn't like an official major thing before. It was just kind of if you have Xbox Game Pass, you can download these few games that
were
also available.
Yeah, it was only
like
a handful that were compatible.
Yeah, so now they're talking over 100 games, and it's going to be like a Netflix-style service. So it's not like PS Plus where you have to like claim the games and stuff on here.
Right.
It's just
it's
like Netflix. It's as needed.
Well,
as
to be fair, PlayStation has the PlayStation Now service for that very reason.
I guess.
Yeah,
it's not the same.
It's the same.
No, it's not because most of those games are streaming.
No, they allow it like on downloading the system. Now.
Most of them are streaming. There's you can download some games now.
I didn't realize that it wasn't all of them.
No, because most of those games are PS3 games and PS2 games and PS1 games and
oh, true. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a lot of the draw for the system is like our friend Rich Mike, he has he's a big like Dark Souls fan, but he never had a PS3 and he has a computer though and I'm like, "Hey, you should look into trying the PlayStation Now so you can play Demon's Souls."
Did he do it?
No. But, you know, that's just an example, though, of, that's why it's kind of cool, but at the same time, it's streaming. And we've talked a million times about how streaming games is not good. It's not great, anyway.
Yeah.
So
on this service, you can you both stream and download, or is it download? I believe it's just download for Xbox.
Download.
Yeah.
It's a PC version of
Xbox
the Game Pass. Okay. So you're not necessarily playing Xbox games, although... you will be because almost all Xbox games now come out on PC as well, but it's like its own thing. So there's like I said, there's Bethesda and other companies where it will be their PC games but available on Xbox Game Pass. So that is promising. Maybe we'll see that rumored Xbox Game Pass on Switch at E3.
Yeah,
that'd be interesting. They still haven't officially announced Ori and the Blind Forest.
No.
And, I mean, that seems all but confirmed because it was in that same leak as Cuphead.
Yeah.
So, I just think they haven't bothered announcing it yet. So, yeah. Microsoft making some moves.
Making the moves.
Making some moves to further its stake, its claim. So, all right. Next up, we got... GameStop announces 21 Switch.
They didn't announce it.
GameStop lists 21 Switch titles.
In their database, yes.
In their database before E3. This happens every year before E3.
Usually, yeah.
And it's usually a pretty good indicator of how many of all the games that are going to be announced.
Most of them are listed for $60, while three are $40, $50, and $90. And another one is priced at $200.
$200?
Yes.
I'm going to say that might be the Switch Mini.
I mean, they're listed as games.
Sure, but so. I don't know. How many games do you know of that cost $200?
Special editions.
Yeah, I guess. That's one hell of a special edition. It's been a long time since I've seen a Nintendo console special edition that sold that much.
Yeah, we'll see.
Not even the most expensive Zelda one was that. It was like $130 or whatever. So, yeah, it's exciting stuff. I'm excited for E3. Looking forward to all them sweet games. Looking forward to that Animal Crossing news.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
Yeah, I mean, well, all but confirmed that their main focus is going to be Animal Crossing. Everyone says that, like, the booth is supposed to be all Animal Crossing themed.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so, you got anything to say on this, or did you just tell me this so I could tell everyone?
I just wanted to let you guys know.
All right, cool. What else you got?
Breaking news.
Mm.
Not breaking. Super Smash Brothers VR.
Oh, right. That.
Yeah, another feature has been released for the Nintendo Labo VR headset, a.k.a. Cardboard. And you can now spectate Super Smash Brothers fights and or fight in Super Smash Brothers fights with your Nintendo Lab VR cardboard. I personally think it's super stupid, but it's actually kind of cool when you watch the footage of it because you can actually look at the entire levels, mm-hmm. like from a 360 degree angle. It's not compatible with every level, but at certain levels, the person's looking completely behind them and to the sides and everything. And like the Breath of the Wild level, he's looking down because you're on top of the tower,
mm-hmm.
and you can just see the amount of detail in these levels and everything. So.
Sure, but it just seems it's dumb, like a but, thing you'd mess around with for 10 minutes.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's just... So whatever. It's a very...
I can't decide if they're just doing these things out of to have some fun or if they're actually trying to push this Labo VR set.
I can't disagree with you. It's bizarre.
Yeah, because they're idiots if they think that these things are selling the VR headset.
Yeah.
I can understand if they're just like, we sold a bunch of these VR Labo sets. Let's like give them a cool little thing to use it on. But if they think that this is like, I'm going to go out and get a Labo VR. They got another thing coming.
Yeah.
They should have... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
They should have partnered with some... shitty like third-party Chinese company
for an actual VR
for an actual VR headset. If they cared so little about, because that's the thing, they don't care about the quality of the video or anything. It's super low res. So if they cared so little about the quality of it, and I mean, I'm surprised these things don't already exist. Actually, I'm sure they do in some form, maybe or coming. But just a Chinese company that can make you a shitty $30 plastic headset that you pop in to, you pop the switch into, like they do with smartphones, those pieces of garbage that you see in on the shelf at Walmart.
Where they try to sell them for a shitload at some point, and then...
No, I mean, I usually see them, they're like $30. Cheap crap. They just split the image and put a magnifying glass in front of your eye, which is exactly what Labo does. Problem with Labo is it doesn't actually fit on your head. You have to hold it in front of you.
Well, yeah, and you're playing the game with the Joy-Cons
up to your face. So, honestly... It would be something I might be somewhat interested in if I could play Zelda or Mario in VR if I had an actual headset.
Yeah.
And could hold the controller in my hand.
That's a thing. That's a thing that always deters me from even being humoring the idea.
Yeah, I'm not even humoring it.
Yeah.
It looks awful. Just using that thing looks awful.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen this yet and you're listening to this, go ahead and Google the Zelda Labo VR and take a look at what someone looks like when they're using this thing. It just looks so awful.
Yeah. I got nothing else.
Yeah, it's just...
what can you say?
Weird, interesting thing. VR, in my experience, seems to work most commonly best in first person, which none of these are. It's just a... You're basically just looking at like a 3D image of the game on your, but instead of on your TV, it's in your eye.
Yeah.
And it's less good quality. So that's kind of the weird thing about it. It's just, I don't really see the appeal, but whatever. All right. What else you got for us?
I got nothing else.
Okay. Well,
what are you playing right now?
What am I playing right now? Nothing. I haven't been playing anything. I'm about to finish up Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I've been busy with the cruise and everything, and we had friends in town, so we went to Disney, and so I haven't been playing anything. Got a long time awaited game in the mail, Gunstar Heroes. Figured we'd play that today.
Oh boy. We got other games to play today, man. We gotta play House of the Dead. We gotta play Splash Lake.
Okay.
I guess we got stuff to do. But
yeah.
No, just something interesting. I kinda wish that I did. I said this to Pat. I should have but as you said, no one will believe it. I should have done a YouTube series or at least some kind of segment about digging through my parents' garage. Because I think I underestimate sometimes how much video games we owned back then. And
not even video games, just fucking stuff.
It's stuff.
Just game stuff.
Without being too harsh on my parents, specifically my mom, is kind of a hoarder.
Yeah.
And she's just one of those moms. She bought a lot of stuff and then doesn't like throwing things away. So it's like all in a garage. And ever since I even started collecting physical retro games, I would do garage dives. Mm-hmm. I found a lot of good stuff. I found like TurboGrafx games, all pretty much like Pat's like entire box collection is like mostly like my old childhood boxes. A lot of them are. And yeah, I keep finding stuff. Like I keep finding like random pieces of gold.
Just randomly found a Master System box under what looked like a tool table or something.
System complete box. It's like
there's no system in it, right? It's just a box.
I haven't even checked because I don't even want to climb through it to dig it out just yet. But I found a box with like a Sega CD Model 1 that I just gave to you because it's guaranteed broken.
Yeah,
and it's a little project.
It's gonna be an interesting
project for you. And the most random thing that I pulled out the other day was, this is why people would never believe me if I had a YouTube show, Alsta sealed for Saturn.
Yeah.
Like, completely sealed.
Wait, what? That's not the... Astel.
Astel?
Yeah.
Alsta. Astel.
Astel for Sega Saturn. Astel. It's a 2D, 2.5D platformer.
Yeah. It looks really cool, but...
Yeah, it does look really cool.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't sealed, I'd be interested in buying it from you.
Yeah.
Because it, like, it's right out of my price range on eBay where I'm like, I'm not going to buy a game that I haven't played for that much.
Yeah, it's like, what, like $30, $30, $40 or something like that? Or is it
complete? No, it's like $70 or $80.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Honestly, I'll probably just grab it next time I'm in Japan. It's probably much cheaper.
Yeah.
And it's a platform with no, I don't think there's any text or anything in it. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it's, you found your the Turbo Express that you gave to me.
I found that in like a random closet.
And that is, I would go as far as to say the rarest handheld console ever made.
I found an Atari Lynx at one point, which I still have.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that I still have not found that I really want to find someday is that Earthbound box.
Yeah. I wouldn't hold your breath.
But I also wouldn't be overly shocked if I found it at this point, just the amount of stuff that I keep finding. So I don't know. It's super bizarre, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad problem to have.
No, it's not. I'm currently trying to offload my entire collection. I guess I'm really talking the podcast. I am completely giving up physical collecting, which is kind of a huge deal for me because I loved physical collecting. I have talked about the PS Vita several times, and actually the PS Vita was a breaking point for me. I counted 75 games that I own for that system.
And that's kind of when you realize you lost your mind?
I think so. I think I finally had an epiphany of just like, I'm about to move to a different country, and I have 75 games on this system.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
And a lot of them are like collector's edition that take up a ton of room and stuff.
Yeah, and I'm just, it's just,
I think the big moment probably for you was when I spelled out how much money it was worth, because you like didn't even want to believe me. I'm like, nah, just think about it. Like,
I don't know if I still believe it if it's that much. Maybe a few $1,000s. I don't think it's like,
I said 5,000 ish.
Okay,
and you figure 75 games, most of them retail for $40 or more,
maybe,
and then you have all the special editions and stuff that will offset. So you're talking an average of $60 a game to get to the 5,000, and I think the special editions bring up that average.
We'll see, but
it's going to be at least $3,000 to $5,000.
Yeah,
and that's money that you need. When you're over there.
I've decided to go like a complete like minimalist approach. It's something that I've been wanting to do for a long time, but it's always been so weird because I've always like desired that lifestyle, but my gaming lifestyle completely contradicts it.
Yeah,
contradicts it, and I.
But you always like collecting stuff, so it's not just the gaming. For now, it's been the gaming, but before that, it was records, and before that, it was, you know, Disney shit.
I got that from my family. All of us collect something in our family, and I'm just kind of completely over it. Like I desire the space and openness a lot more than I do the stuff at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I hold it, and I'm like, this is cool, but like. I think when I started playing some of my games digitally, and this is so, by the way, a counter from what I've said on this podcast before, is that like I play these digital games and I'm just like, I enjoyed this game just as much as I would have if it was on my shelf or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like I played Iconoclast for PS Vita and I loved it, and I got it for free on PS Plus. I loved it so much. I really liked it and went, oh my God, I wish I had the physical copy that came out on Limited Run. And then later on, I went, why? just so I can just collect dust on my shelf. And this is not me trashing collectors. I still appreciate, I still love collecting. I'm really happy that I'm friends with Pat, and Pat's certainly happy too, because mm-hmm. a lot of my games are going to him, and it's because it's going to a good home, and Pat has a space for it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, one day, if I ever move away or something, or I would probably sell all my shit too. I'm basically just waiting for that moment like you, where it's just like, you know, I could use the money. I don't need this stuff anymore. Yeah, maybe when I retire or something.
It's just the right moment in my life where it just absolutely makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And it sounds very appealing, honestly, to be, especially with where you're going and the culture and the space that you'll have.
It's not easy. I do sell some of this stuff, and I'm like, man, am I really selling all this stuff? But
yeah.
Yeah.
But then when you leave to go on away, and you get to look at your bank account and all this, all the money that you got from selling, and be
yeah.
like, yeah, I don't know if I really miss it that much.
I mean, this game that sat on my shelf forever, which I paid $60 for this collector's edition game, and I just sold it for $200. I mean, it wasn't even that old of a game.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
I struggle with this with my record collection a lot.
Oh, yeah?
Because my record collection's worth a lot of money.
Yeah. What stops you from it?
Just, I don't know.
You worked so hard to get that stuff?
Yeah. What if I decide I want it again? I'm not going to be able to get it. Some of that stuff's one of a kind.
Yeah, like the test pressings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of that stuff's one of a kind. Some of it's super duper obscure and rare. And, it's just, I think the right push, if an opportunity came up for us to, like, move or whatever, because I've talked to you about it. Never, we don't really talk too much about our personal dreams or goals on the podcast,
no.
But I mean, I've always told you that in an ideal world, I would like to just buy like a ranch or something out, you know, and like...
He's been telling me this for years. Like, this, yeah.
Like just basically go in the total opposite direction, where I would still be connected to the internet and things like that. But like, you know, live a more rustic, stress-free lifestyle.
You know, it's funny. I saw like a special recently on the news. I forget what the actual... what news show it was, but they had people who live in their RVs and they like soup them up and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
yeah, that's becoming popular.
Yeah, it's like a big thing now.
A lot of people buy old school buses.
Yeah, and then completely revamp them up. Yeah, how do you feel about that lifestyle?
Probably not for me.
You have dogs.
With the dogs and the cats and stuff. And I still would want space.
Yeah.
But just. The need to constantly buy things and stuff. I could do without that.
It's really like, it's crazy how that stuff like holds you down, especially, and we talked about in the past, like game buying addiction and any kind of buying addiction where you see something on sale and you're just like, oh man, if I don't buy this now, I'm never going to get it this cheap again. And it's just amazing how, I mean, I'm not trying to sound like anti-capitalistic, but like it is one of the negative aspects of capitalism is that where you
get trained to.
You get trained to. Like, yeah. And you get a dopamine rush from buying these things mm-hmm. and the deal. And it's just, at the end of the day, it sits on your shelf and collects dust. You might play it once or twice. You might watch this DVD you got once or twice. But, and then the problem with it is that it's never enough.
Yeah.
That's the issue.
Yeah. So I think I have like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde part mm-hmm. of me where, I think to myself, if I won the lottery, I would want to go live on a ranch and like just have like, you know, a lot of property and a carefree life. And then the other half of me sees, do you ever see that like Australian guy on YouTube that has the biggest game collection in the world?
Yes.
And it just looks like a giant museum, and he has like literally an entire arcade in there. Like,
was he the
like
guy?
100 machines.
Is this the Guinness World Records guy?
Yeah. And he just has complete collections of all these systems and stuff. And like, and it, so another part of me is like, if I won the lottery, I would want a collection like that. So it's like two completely different opposing views.
Well, it's weird for me because I have two different views when I see people like that. One view of me is like, wow, that's so cool. Another view is like, this person's sick.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
He's lost his fucking mind.
Yeah, yeah.
And, it's, yeah, so there's, it, yeah, it's a weird dynamic. I don't know. Maybe one day, maybe after I visit you and see how you're doing.
Yeah, I'll let you know how my lifestyle
turns
out.
Yeah, maybe when I visit you and see how you're doing, maybe I'll just sell everything. You know, I've also, well, because I've talked about wanting to sell this house eventually.
Because
it's getting really busy around here. There's so much shit being built up around
here.
Oh,
boy. Poor Orlando, man.
So, and I don't like, I moved out here because I'm like,
you wanted to get rid of it and get rid of the craziness. Yeah.
So, and now everywhere I look, every time I drive down the road, there's a new building being built.
Yep.
And, I mean, right on the corner on 192 and 27.
Claremont is blowing up.
Yeah, so, you know, I talk about eventually. And when it does blow up, my house value is going to blow up, too.
Yeah.
And since I don't want to be here, when it blows up, it works out fine. So maybe that'll be the moment where I do buy my ranch out in a middle of nowhere town or whatever. And then I'll probably just sell all my stuff, and that'll help finance.
You still trying to coax your wife into agreeing with that lifestyle?
Well, she doesn't care about. I'm not saying like move completely in the middle of nowhere, but like just further out from the city.
Yeah,
to a cheaper area and a more quiet area. Yeah. So and then maybe I'll sell all my shit then. You know, as far as my records go, the time to sell is probably now. If I want top value, but...
Yeah, because vinyl collecting is like an all-time high right now.
And it's probably peaked.
I think so, yeah.
Not to mention the largest portion of my value of my collection is from a specific band whose popularity is also well past peaked.
Yes.
So, yeah. If I want to sell stuff for the records, time is probably now. But, you know, it's whatever. I who knows what the future holds. We've talked about having a kid in the next year or two, and I'm sure that will change my perspective a lot. Maybe I'll want to keep the games because I'll have someone else to appreciate them and play them and stuff. Or maybe I'll be like, I don't need all the shit in here. I need more space and I need more money. So
maybe you don't want your kid to be surrounded by too many things. Also
yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Exactly.
Consider.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's you never really know with this stuff until it's time, and for you it's time. So
yeah, that's all it really is down to it. And like you know, and I want to keep saying I'm not trying to criticize anybody's lifestyle for collecting video games. I love collecting video games, and I think people's collections are really cool. And I think game preservation is very important.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff's very important to me. But yeah, it's just a lifestyle I've always wanted to have, and I'm finally just.
Well,
taking that plunge into it and seeing how it works out for me.
My suggestion to you, honestly, too, would be you can still play games and, get like a analog SG and a super, you know, an analog Mega or Super Nintendo SG or whatever, and get a flash cart.
You know, I have been considering that stuff, and how I'm treating this right now is that I'm selling everything off, and I'm keeping like a couple of handheld systems.
Mm-hmm.
Like
and just get flashcards and stuff.
Flashcards and stuff like that. But the thing is also, I have thought about it, and I'm like, what if I want to play these old school games again? And the thing is, I need to stop thinking of it from that way, just like, oh man, I won't be able to play this. If I want to play them again, I'm going to have an opportunity to do so. If the desire to like do that takes me and I really want to do it, then I will do it then.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too, is that this is what I said to you about selling all your stuff is, you're going to get so much money from it that if you want, you can do things like, oh, I'll just pay $200 for the analog SG.
Yeah.
And it's going to be no big deal because some of your Sega games that you have are worth, you know, the $200.
The $200 right there, yeah.
So it's just, yeah, you're going to make up. You're going to have so many other options to just be like, you know, or what I said to you was buy a really nice laptop. You know, it because you'll like you're in the long run, you're saving so much money and stuff that the few things that you will have, you can treat yourself to and buy really nice things.
Yeah.
To replace all the space and all the things that you're getting rid of. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's, this is the stuff that you always grapple with when you're a collector and you never know. It's a combination, like you said, too, where you're like afraid you're going to miss out on a hot deal or whatever. So, yeah, it's it is what it is. I envy you. I wish. I mean, if the same situation arose for me, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
like tomorrow, if someone said, hey, we got a job for you and your wife in Japan and you can bring your dogs and stuff, and like, I'd be like, okay, well, then I'm going to sell all my fucking games and stuff and my house and go do that.
Yeah.
So
it's also a combination. I mean, I'm getting older and I'm trying to really focus my priorities on my future and my finances.
Yeah.
Like, I want to start a family someday. And it's just like, these are things that don't just, you don't just not plan for them. Like, you don't have, you know what I mean? Like, you don't start a family and then not think about these things.
Yeah.
Years prior to that. So.
For sure. So hopefully I'll know what I'm doing with my shit soon enough.
Nah, you know.
But until then,
time's not right yet.
Yeah.
For the time being, we're going to go play those games.
Exactly. Well, and that's the thing too, is that I actually get a lot of play out of my stuff.
Yeah.
Because whenever people come over, we'll play stuff. So, and also I'm the type of collector that honestly I feel is kind of rare nowadays, which is I only buy like good stuff that I know that I'm going to play. I don't, and I sift through there every few months and like trade shit in or sell it if I'm like,
that's good.
I'm not going to play this.
Yeah.
I don't need to have every game.
I'll see people's collections and Jesus, like, people will post like the Nintendo Switch collections and they make a big photo. They make a big photo shoot out of it too. And they're just like, lay them all out. And it's just like, check it out. I just bought game number 255. And you see like the shittiest games in there.
Yeah.
And it's just like, why?
Yep.
And that's where do what you want, but it's just the collecting culture online can be really weird sometimes. People are just like, it's like, I don't even know what to call it. Just like they expect people to applaud them for buying so many things. They'll be like, bought 10 games today. And it's just like, okay.
Meanwhile, I look through my collection, my Super Nintendo, my Genesis and stuff, and like, you'd be hard pressed to find even just a few bad games in there. I mean, I look at it's nothing but gems.
Yeah.
So, or like really unique experiences. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what I'll end up doing with it. Hopefully, you know, I would like in the near future, because I do have some prospects, maybe I'll get a job that pays so well that it won't really, I won't need to sell it. I won't ever feel like I need to sell it because me and my wife are doing well enough that I don't feel like I need to give up the stuff that I like a lot to fund or make up space or whatever.
Maybe one day you'll be one of those cheesy local news articles where it's just like, local collector selling his games and we're going to tell you how you can. They always have some cheesy line like, I don't know.
Do you have gold in your attic? Yeah.
You can be that guy.
Sega Genesis recently sold for $7,000. Do you have one
of
these? Yeah,
one of your closets.
Those are always great.
Oh, man.
All right, well, I guess we're all wrapped up then on that note.
Sure are.
We appreciate you for listening to us ramble about our games. We want you to subscribe and like and follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and all that stuff. www.analogoutmedia.com. That's where you can get all our podcasts and other things we do. You can follow us on Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, and all that stuff. Thank you very much. On that note, Bowman, what do you have to say?
I want to go play Splash League.
All right, let's go play Splash League. Good night.
Good night.